of all, I want to acknowledge a couple of people, one who was here but had to leave, Jim Hart from the University of Minnesota School of Public Health. I'm also in the School of Public Health in the Division of Health Policy and Management, the Program in Human Rights and Health, and Brianna Peterson Lathrop, who's sitting right here, who's now at Emory in a combined program of nurse practitioner and public health, whose idea this project was as a senior project at Carleton College, actually. And she was the main and driving force behind its organization, so she should be given due credit. Thank you. Well, the question that presented came to actually Brianna's mind and that we began to work on was, given the discussion of healthcare financing reforms, what would be Minnesota physicians' attitudes? And one of the reasons why this might be interesting is because Minnesota, at least in some health indicators, is an index state near the top. And so we were going to, and we did assess the preference attitudes towards three healthcare financing systems, namely multi-payer managed care, which is the conventional current system, single-payer system, which we had a definition for, which I will get to, and health savings accounts, which are associated with high deductible plans and which are in some ways the newest variation on the block. And the context, well, these are well-known. Cost pressures affect access, financing, and delivery. And there are reform discussions elsewhere and other initiatives, such as Massachusetts and California. And why ask physicians? Well, they're important stakeholders and informers, first of all, in system functioning on the inside, and secondly, as mediated communicators and reflectors of patient satisfaction and experience. One, of course, should also ask patients directly. That's another study. Now, Minnesota is known as a fixable state, which is plus and minus. It's plus in the sense that the problems aren't as extreme as in some places. It's minus in the sense that if it's almost there, then why not just incrementally try to solve it? But here, as we see, even though it's number one in health status or number two, depending on the survey for the last 4 or 5 years, if you look at the disparities information, infant mortality per 1,000 live births, African Americans 13.7 versus Caucasian, white 5.6, Latino, Hispanic's pretty low, American Indian is high. And the disparities in Minnesota are absolute disparities. In other words, there are many states that have much lower rates in these categories in absolute terms. It's not just that Minnesota has a high positive rate and then some other groups are further down. It's in fact the disparities are much worse on an absolute sense compared to other parts of the country. A relatively low insurance, 7.4, but again, if you go across African American, 12.8, American Indian, 21, and Hispanic, Latino, 34, so that's very high. And there was no survey to date. Now, we adapted an instrument by McCormick in 2004, but we changed their fee-for-service category to health savings accounts because fee-for-service has been in decline, health savings accounts are in ascendancy. And we added system definitions, which they didn't, so when they said single-payer, it could be anything you project up there, we had some definitions. And we added a general favorability question for price-tiered managed care, single-payer, and health savings accounts, and we dropped what are your colleagues' views on the matter. And we took it to the IRB. There were 17,776 Minnesota MDs, and we deleted those that were out of state for 13,000. We needed 374 for those confidence intervals and levels. And we seeded, sorted, and sent out 1061, and we had about a 40% response rate. We got 408 responses, and we needed 374, and we had 390 complete, so that made it robust statistically. Now, what about the respondents to population parameters? It was within 0.6% male and female physicians, within 1.3% metro and rural, and across these medical divisions in terms of specialties and areas of practice. Primary medicine was within 0.25%, medical specialties in general 1.1%, general surgery 1.8%, surgical specialty was a little bit down 2.6%, but these are still quite tight to the population parameters of the Minnesota physician population. Here are some general characteristics. I won't spend much time on this other than point out, interesting, medical school respondents were much higher than the proportion of the population. Clinic was a little down, so medical school faculty, we happened to draw by random. We did chi-square analysis on preference by physician characteristics and stepwise regression on those significant characteristics. We did a sensitivity analysis that rectified the population parameters for the chi-square significant variables for sex geography in the four medical divisions. And when we did that analysis, it changed things less than 1%. So it was very tight. So here was the key question. Which of the following three structures would offer the best health care to the greatest number of people for a given amount of money? Multi-payer, managed care, single-payer, or health savings accounts? And for multi-payer managed care, we had a multi-payer market-based system in which individuals are enrolled in one of a variety of private insurance plans. They have health care benefits that differ, perhaps managed care practitioners, and they manage practitioners and enrollees through utilization review and cost control to improve quality. So pretty standard definitions. And single payer, we defined it as a single payer system in which the practices remain privately held. So it's not the British system, it's closer to a Canadian system. And one can discuss about that, well, what about other alternatives? And health savings accounts, it was just basically a descriptive description of a pre-tax account that gives you a tax advantage linked to a high deductible plan, and that replaced FSS. Well, here's the central finding. 63.6% of physicians said they thought that single payer would perform best, about a quarter health savings accounts, and about 12% managed care. And this here is our sensitivity analysis. The raw data is in black, and the adjusted data is in red. And as you see, the difference is less than 1% in any of those, having adjusted across geography, physician type, and sex. Now, this is McCormick's, interestingly enough. And you see, the single payer there was 63.5%. If we just click back and just compare the pies, they almost look exactly the same. The fee-for-service was about a quarter for theirs, which we didn't have, of course, and then managed care was about 10%. Sorry. Am I going the right way or the wrong way? I'm going the wrong way, aren't I? Okay. Well, here's some comparison with Minnesota and, and the Massachusetts, again, just in tabular form. Now, what about characteristics? This is for a single payer, and what you see here is that female doctors were much more in favor, 76. This wasn't significant, that wasn't significant. And then what you also see here is that primary medicine is much more in favor, and general surgery was further down here. Okay. Now, health savings accounts, this was significant also. Males were more in favor. This wasn't significant. Here we have rural and suburban was over urban, so urban was less in favor. And general surgery was much more in favor for health savings accounts, and the others were about parity. And then managed care, this wasn't significantly different for sex, nor for medical school, et cetera, nor for here. But what you see here is that managed care characteristics, specialties were much more in favor of managed care as opposed to general, less, both on the medical and the surgical side, which was interesting. Now, we had a societal responsibility question, and the query was, or the statement was, agree or not, across four levels. It is a responsibility of society through its government to ensure everyone has access to good medical care, whether or not they can afford it. And 86% agreed strongly or somewhat, as opposed to 14%. And then we had a paperwork reduction question. I would be willing to accept a 10% reduction in fee for a very significant reduction in paperwork. 71% were enthusiastic for that, and that was probably across every preference, as opposed to 29%. And this one, what about a salary system, which was tried in some cases, for example, group health in Minnesota when it first started was a salary system. I favor paying physicians by salary if the salaries were guaranteed to be determined in a fair way, 64 somewhat to strongly versus 36. And then this is, of course, a big question. What about private insurance industry role? And those who thought that there shouldn't be a role for private insurance were 59% versus 41%. But if you check government responsibility by private insurance role, they have compatibility overlap of at least 27%. In other words, a lot of people would say it should be a government responsibility to make sure this happened, and private industry should play a role. Now, we did some regressions. And these were the single-payer preference significant regressors. It's not surprising that the favorables and the over-opposed and undecided for single-payer would be significant. The health savings account opposed over-favorable and undecided, thanks, it's fine, were significant. And those who thought that there was a strong societal responsibility and disagreed with the continuing private insurance role, we got rid of the attitude regressors, and urban was stronger than rural, and those that were in favor of a salary system were also significant. Okay. Health savings accounts, those that are opposed to single payer undecided. Here, this is interesting. Rural over urban was very much more strongly in favor of health savings accounts, perhaps because they're more portable. perhaps there's a more of an independent streak in the population. And those are, interestingly enough, also not so akin to societal responsibility. They were against the salary system, and they were for continuing insurance role. And the managed care regressed for a price-tiered system, favorable, undecided about single-payer, and health savings accounts opposed or undecided. And if you took out the general favorability variable, then the insurance industry role was significant. Well, conclusions, we had about 65% of randomly sampled Minnesota MDs thought that single payer with privately owned hospitals and practices would provide the best care for the most people for a given amount of money. However, and this is sort of, you always have to have your cum grano salis, your block of salt with you. The preference to experience is inversely ordered. So people thought they would prefer most single payer and then health savings accounts and managed care, but the experience rate is really least experience with single payer, next least experience with health savings accounts, and most experience with managed care. And so if one thinks of that in terms of sort of empirical experience point of view, people are frustrated with what's going on and they're open to other things. They're not particularly overjoyed necessarily with health savings accounts, and they're open to something else, but it's really an unknown in this context. The private insurance role and government responsibility are not mutually exclusive, and less paperwork is desired and salary is entertained due to billing fatigue. And the Minnesota-Massachusetts results are largely consistent. And sort of a take-home message, too, is one should include MD views and policy debates. Now, there have been, in the 2007 Minnesota legislature, there's been 86 Senate health insurance bills, 11 modify or expand Minnesota Care, which is the low-income subsidized insurance bill. There have been 5 single-payer versions under the Minnesota Health Care Act, which is a true single-payer bill, 5 universal health care, non-single-payer, and 2 constitutional amendments, one of which says every Minnesota resident has the right to health care. It is the responsibility of the governor and the legislature to implement all necessary legislation to ensure affordable health care. So this is a little bit like the right to the highest attainable standard of health. It doesn't articulate how that's to be achieved in the particulars. And a recent poll also indicates that this is a high interest issue. And actually, 49% said they'd be willing to pay $500 to cover in taxes to cover all, and some 10% said they'd be willing to pay less. And so there's a social sense of responsibility that goes across the board. What about response bias? Well, the sample proportions are near the population parameters. The definitions don't address all the variations, but the outcome is close to what McCormick had without. And the results there. There's not an operational definition for a very significant reduction of paperwork or paid in a fair way, and of course that's where the real fight is, and there's more need for real concretization in that. And then of course stated versus revealed preference differences are really possible when it comes down to making actual choices. Funding from the Department of Epidemiology and Community Health, School of Public Health, with administrative support from Jan Pearson and also aid from the Center for Integrative Research of St. Olaf College. And I, by the way, the least enthusiastic for managed care was the rural context, which has only 6%. And if you have a question about that, I have a theory as to why that might be. So thank you very much for your patience.